First Kings chapter 4. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come. And again, the honor it is to stand and preach God's Word once in a meeting like this, but then be asked to do it twice is really an honor, and I mean that with sincerity. We will be changing the gears a bit from last night, but I'm confident that what I'm going to be preaching is exactly what the Lord would have this afternoon. And I'm going to pick up, Brother Williamson left off in the morning service preaching on salvation. There's very few Jubilee meetings or camp meetings that I go to that I don't preach about like I did last night. But I'm confident that there's somebody here this afternoon that God's going to speak to you.
Amen.
And I'm talking about somebody lost. God's going to speak to you this afternoon.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, than Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. I want you to look back with me in verse number 30. The Bible said, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." King Solomon, according to this passage of Scripture, was the wisest man living during his day. I would say that there's never been another man outside of the Lord Jesus that possessed more wisdom than what Solomon did. I thank God Jesus himself said that he that is wiser, greater than Solomon, was among us. And thank God he was all wisdom. But during Solomon's day, there was not a wiser man in all of the earth. The Bible said that they came from Egypt, they came from Babylon, they came from all parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He spake proverbs in abundance. We have many of them written down in the Bible, but they were much more than this. And of all the men that lived during Solomon's day, Solomon was the wisest man in the world. And I thought about this as I read this passage of Scripture. I thought about this. If Solomon was the wisest man in the world during his day, I wonder who the most foolish was. If Solomon was the wisest, and he was, there's also in the other direction somebody that held the title of being the most foolish man on the face of the earth. Now, nobody came forward and claimed it. So we don't know who it is. The Bible doesn't tell us who it was. But I say that just like in Solomon's day, that there is somebody in the world today that is the wisest man living. And Solomon got his wisdom from God. The Bible said that God came to Solomon by night, and in a dream he asked Solomon, said, "What one thing is it that I would grant to you?" And Solomon, above wealth and fame and riches and honor, Solomon said, "Give me wisdom." Now his daddy taught him that. In the Bible tells us that David taught Solomon that wisdom was the principal thing. And he said, "Therefore, in all thy getting, get wisdom." And Solomon didn't forget that. Be good if young people listen what daddy's trying to teach them. Amen?
Amen.
And when God asked Solomon, "What is it? What's the one thing you want?" Those words of David rang in Solomon's mind. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, in all thy getting, get wisdom." And Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him.
Right.
You can get it the same way, amen. The Bible said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God that giveth to all men liberally and abateth it not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is still the principal thing, and God said we can get it just like Solomon got it by asking of him. But back to my thought this morning, this is what I want to preach on. The most foolish man in the world, or the biggest fool in the world. As there is no doubt somebody that holds that title of being the wisest man in the world in our day, there's also somebody in the world today that would fit that title of being the biggest fool in all of the world. Now again, he's not going to step forward and claim it. But he may be sitting here today. Matter of fact, it may not be a he. It may be a she sitting here this morning, the biggest fool in the world. I want to give you four individuals that God refers to as fools in the Bible. And it may be that that individual, one of these four perhaps, is the biggest fool in the world. We might have different opinions as to which one, but no doubt all four of them would be candidates to obtain that title as the biggest fool in the world. And that individual may very well be sitting under the sound of my voice here this morning. Number one, I say first of all that the atheist, no doubt, is one of the biggest fools in all of the world. Did you know twice in the Bible God said that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God? Said it in Psalm 14:1. But then in Psalm chapter 53 and verse number 1, you've got almost the same identical passage of Scripture. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And God said that the man who is an atheist that says there is no God is a fool. And I believe God repeated it twice just to manifest to us how big a fool a man is that denies the existence of Almighty God. A man that doesn't believe the Bible. A man that doesn't believe there's a God. A man that doesn't believe there's a heaven. A man that doesn't believe there's a hell. God said is a fool. And I believe that perhaps the fool is one of the biggest fools, that the atheist is one of the biggest fools in all of the world. Two reasons. Number one, he's a fool because he clearly denies what is manifested to him by creation. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no language nor speech where their voice is not heard. God said it doesn't matter where you'd go in the world. You could go to the darkest part of the jungles in Africa or some heathen land where they've never read a Bible. They've never heard a message. They've never sat under preaching like we've sat under this week. But God said they know that there's a God. If they just look up into the heavens, they can look at creation and the heavens will declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no voice, no language where they don't hear the voice of creation. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter number 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, even his eternal power and Godhead by the things that are made. God said that you can go someplace where they've never read a verse. They've never read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But their conscience and their heart and their mind, they can look at creation and know the fact that there is a creation tells them there had to be an intelligent creator out there somewhere. A man that believes in the Big Bang Theory, he's experienced the Big Bang in his head. Yeah. To think that such a creation that we have, where just
just a little bit closer and the earth would burn up if the sun was a little bit closer. If it was just a little bit further away, we'd all freeze. Rotates on the axis at just the right speed. And everything in creation held together by a power that is not seen. How in the world can a man believe that it's just a result of some explosion and some big bang that happened? That man is a fool indeed.
You're right.
These scriptures tell us that the fool, the atheist, is a fool because he denies what his conscience tells him. I've got a watch here. I took it off to help me keep the time. It's not a Rolex. It's not anything of real monetary greatness. But it was given to me by a preacher boy out of our church.
Amen.
Means a lot to me. Amen. But really, I'm going to tell you what happened. I walked outside. I heard an explosion in the house one day. And I walked outside and I looked on the ground and lo and behold, there was this watch. And I mean just ticking and keeping perfect time. And I mean, it just come out of the explosion. You don't believe that, do you? A watch is a very interesting invention. But just like every invention makes it plain, there's got to be an intelligent inventor somewhere. Oh, the man that looks at this world that we live in and says it just happened as a result of a big bang in creation, that man is a fool to believe that. I was out on soul winning visitation a few weeks back, and my sons and I were visiting the house of a college professor. We have a university in our town, and there was a college professor, and he hung me up for about 45 minutes and just going round and round and round and round. And he said, "Oh, preacher, but I am a college professor at the university, and I've got a PhD. And I said, "I got a PhD too. And he said, "You do?" And I said, "Yeah, it's called preaching hell and damnation." Amen. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how smart a man is, the fear of the Lord, hey, listen, that is the beginning of wisdom. And it doesn't matter what college or university that a man's gone off to, if he does not believe, it doesn't matter how many degrees he's got behind his name, if he doesn't believe there's a God, he doesn't believe this Bible is God's Word, he doesn't believe there's a heaven, he doesn't believe there's a hell, he may very well be the biggest fool in all of the world. You see, his denial of hell is not going to change the fact of it. He that believeth not shall be damned. And the fool, the atheist, is a fool because he thinks if he can just convince himself that it does not exist, he doesn't have to worry about it. If he just puts God out of his mind and convinces himself that there is no hell, he thinks he's all right. But oh, what a fool he is, because whether he believes it or not, there is a God. The Bible is God's Word. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And he that believeth not shall still be damned, whether he believes it or not. But number two, secondly, not only the atheist, but the mocker is no doubt one of the biggest fools in the world. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 9 that fools make a mock at sin. And it's a foolish man that would make a mock at sin. Matter of fact, it's a foolish man that would make a mockery of God, make a mockery of the Bible, make a mockery of God's people, make a mockery of God's man, or make a mockery of the things of God. That man is indeed a fool. And no doubt that the mocker is one of the biggest fools in all of the world. You know, this world's always mocked God and mocked God's men and mocked God's people and mocked God's house and mocked God's Word and mocked the things of God. You go all the way back in the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the whole church was filled with the Holy Ghost, but they still mocked them, didn't they? They mocked and said, "Oh, they're full of new wine." They mocked the Apostle Paul in Acts 17 after he preached there on Mars Hill. The Bible said some of them mocked and said, "What will this babbler say?" Hey, if they mocked a man of God like the Apostle Paul, you better believe they'll mock us today too. They mock, Peter said, they're going to mock about the second coming, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He said they'd be mocking in the last day about the second coming. You talk about the second coming and they'll find, you'll find just like Peter said, there'll be people that mock and laugh and scoff and say, oh, y'all been saying that for 2,000 years. Well, God told us he's going to do that. But you know, they even mocked Jesus. He hung there on the cross. They went by and wagged their heads. They mocked him and said, oh, you saved others. Yourself you cannot save. Oh, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe it. And they made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, church, a lot of folks won't even be saved because they're too worried about what the world's going to think and somebody mocking them. But I'm telling you, if they mocked the early church on Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, if they mocked a man of God like the Apostle Paul, if they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, you better believe they're going to mock us as well if we live for the Lord. But I tell you, the fool, the mocker is one of the biggest fools in the world, though. Because the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And he said this, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you know what he's talking about? Proverbs chapter 1, God said, he said, I will mock when your fear cometh. And he said, I'll laugh at your calamity. You know that man that mocks God and that makes a mockery of God's house and God's people and God's word? God said, be not deceived, I am. The mocker is one of the biggest fools in the world because he's going to reap what he sowed, and God will be doing the mocking one day.
Right.
In 2 Kings chapter 2, there's a group of young people. There was Elisha, God's man, and he had a bald head. Somebody said he was getting old. The three B's of getting old, belly, baldness, and brains. Affects all three, amen. There's mocking Elisha, the man of God, that great man of God. They mocked him and laughed and said, go up, thou bald head. Well, they learned how foolish that was quick, didn't they? God sent some she-bears out there, and what was it, 42 of them? Tear them to pieces. And I'm telling you, the man that would mock God or mock God's man or mock God's people or mock God's word or mock God's house is indeed one of the biggest fools in all the world.
You're right.
But then number three, let's move on. Number three, there's the unprepared fool. Luke chapter 12, now listen, Jesus told about a man that most of the world would have looked at and considered him a smart fellow. He has done well financially. He's worked, he's labored to the point that he's got so much in excess. He said, well, I'm going to tear down my barns and build some bigger barns. I've got more than what I can store. And he said, I'm going to go into an early retirement. And he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And I'm going to retire early and say to my soul, sit back, take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry, because you've got goods laid up for many years.
Yeah.
And the world would have looked down and said, you know, that's a smart fella now. I mean, it does take some smarts and some intelligence if you operate a business and you're successful at it. And he had handled his money well. And here's a young man, got many years, he thinks, left on earth. And he says, boy, I could just go into early retirement. And the world would have voted and said, that's a wise man. That's a smart man. That's an intelligent man. But God said, no, he's a fool.
That's right.
He said, because thou fool, this night, you think you've got many years left on earth. And you've prepared. Listen, God didn't say he was a fool because he didn't know how to manage things in this world. God said he was a fool because he was unprepared for the world to come. And I'm going to tell you, a man can do good by himself. Listen, boys, you can get you a good job. You can work, you labor, and you ought to. You can get you a nice house and have a nice vehicle and you lay up treasures here on this earth. And everybody may pat you on the back, say, oh, what a smart boy, what a wise girl. But if you're not prepared to die tonight, you are the biggest fool in this world, perhaps. Because God, you never know when God may say, thou fool, tonight, tonight, tonight. shall be required of thee.
That's right.
I was out on soul winning visitation years ago, back when I first started pastoring, and I was at this house, and me and my wife, and perhaps some of the children, don't recall, but we were sitting in the living room. There was an elderly woman, probably in her 70s, and God knows, I mean, when you get to 70, you know it's got to be not far away. I mean, it's coming, it's inevitable. I mean, 70 is all we've been promised. And I'm amazed at people that can be 70 years old and they just seem to think like they're going to live on forever. And they're not prepared. What a fool they are. And I sat there and talked with this woman and witnessed to her. She was probably at least in her 70s and no doubt a candidate for death at any time. We left there that night, and I walked back through the kitchen. They come in the back door, had to go through the kitchen and got to the living room. So we went out through the kitchen, and her daughter had come in. Now, her daughter probably was maybe in her early 30s, I'd say at the most. And she stood there. She drove for the UPS, and she had a UPS uniform on, had just gotten in off of work. And she stood there, and I noticed she had been listening as we witnessed and talked with her elderly mother. And as I started to go out, she stood behind a counter in the kitchen, and the Holy Ghost impressed my heart to stop and speak a word to her. And so I spoke to her. She didn't get saved. We left there that afternoon, and it was less than a month or 2 months at the most, that same woman was driving that UPS truck out one day at work, and probably not 2 miles from our church, she went off the road. I don't know if she fell asleep or what she did, but she went off the road and hit a telephone pole and killed her instantly. Killed her instantly. Oh, she was young. UPS pays pretty good money. Probably had done pretty good for herself. But oh, what a fool she was not to listen to God's warning. Several years ago, had a man in my church. He had a nephew that was probably about 20 years old, 19, 20 at the most, or somewhere around there. Said, would you go with me? Said, my nephew's in a mess. Said, he's on drugs and just wasting his life away. We went out on a Thursday night. I think this was a Tuesday. We went out on a Tuesday night and visited that boy. Knocked on the door. He opened the door and began to talk to him. He didn't let us come in, but had a cold, cocky, arrogant attitude the whole time. But I stood there probably for 30 minutes and witnessed to that boy. And I'm telling you, I saw God deal with that boy and bring that boy under conviction. But still, I thought at the end, I asked him, and I don't do this much when I'm out soul winning, but I looked at that boy. I knew God was dealing, and I said, wouldn't you like to be saved tonight? And he looked at me and just seemed to get real stern and cold. And this is what he said. He said, I'll get saved when I get ready to get saved. And I said, no, you won't. And I looked him in the eye and said, you'll get saved when God's dealing with you, or you will not get saved. And he said, I'll get saved when I get ready to get saved. God is my witness. The next night, that boy went home from work, laid on the couch with a cigarette in his hand and fell asleep. The cigarette fell on the couch, it caught on fire, and that boy burned up in that fire. And I have no doubt he died in his sins and went to hell. You may be here and you say, preacher, I got plenty of time. I'll get saved when I get ready to get saved. If you are not prepared to meet God right now, you may very well be the biggest fool in the world.
That's right.
Number four, and lastly, there's the imitator. Remember Matthew chapter 25, five wise virgins, five foolish ones. What made the five wise wise? What made the five foolish foolish? The five wise were wise because they had a lamp, but then they took a vessel with oil in the vessel. The five foolish had a lamp. They had a vessel too, but listen, they took no oil in that vessel. Here. Listen, they were imitators.
Right.
They run with the five wise virgins.
They were pure. They were virgins, just like the five wise ones. Run with the same crowd. Carried a lamp around. Had a light that shined. Had a vessel carrying it around, just like they had. But their vessel had no oil in it.
That's right.
Type of the Holy Spirit. Why in the world did they carry the vessel with no oil in it? You go back and read. That's exactly what it said. They took a vessel but had no oil in it. Why didn't they just leave the vessel at the house and carry the lamp? I'm going to tell you why. They wanted to fit in with that crowd. The other crowd had a vessel, though it had oil in it. And even though they knew they didn't have any oil, they wanted to look good. They didn't want to look foolish. And yet they took their vessel but no oil. Oh, if you'd have saw them, they was right there with those five wives, and they're part of the crowd, friend. Oh, look at all those 10 virgins. They've all lived clean. They've all lived pure. They've all got lamps. They've all got vessels, but they didn't all have oil in them. And I'm going to tell you what made the five foolish virgins so foolish. They were just imitating. They knew they didn't have oil, but they just went right on imitating. Until the voice said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And they all woke and rose and trimmed their lamps. And the five wise took the oil out of their vessel and poured it in their lamp. But the five foolish said, "Could we have some of your oil?" And I mean, those five wise, get some out of your vessel. We didn't bring any. You brought your vessel with no oil in it? Yeah, well, you better go run real quick, try to buy you some. But it was too late.
Right.
While they went and tried to get some, the wise went in and the door was shut, friend. And they were left behind. You say, I tell you, preacher, that ain't this. That is a fool. I mean, who doesn't believe there's a God? Who doesn't believe there's a heaven? Who doesn't believe there's a hell? Oh, that atheist, that mocker, I tell you, he's a fool, really a fool. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're here this afternoon and you're not prepared and you're just imitating and playing, you're a bigger fool than any atheist
that's
in this
right.
world.
That's right.
At least he says he don't believe in it.
Right.
You say you believe it all.
Yep.
And yet you sit there unprepared. And you're just content just to mingle on with the virgins and play the game. When the bridegroom could come at any moment.
Yes.
And you'd be left behind. I can say I was the biggest fool in the world.
Yep.
Let's stand. Piano player comes, heads are bowed. I guarantee you'll be in hell. So I run with that crowd all those years, and my vessel was empty, and I knew it. And I just kept playing the game and imitating the rest of the crowd. Oh, what a fool I was. Play, brother, as he plays this afternoon. Won't you quit playing the game? Don't be the biggest fool in the world.